The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. This is the scene that we consider, the scene that we contemplate when we think of Christmas. This holy family on the run, Jesus himself being born in squalor in the far out reaches of the Roman Empire. But there are any number of things that perhaps we miss at our first look. So it's good to go back and see what the story is that Luke is trying to tell here. What is the story that God wants us to remember that will give, say, form and fashion to our own lives? Here we see that this great survey, this great census, was taken up by Caesar Augustus. And we're inclined to think, well, okay, you know, governments take up censuses. They want data. Perhaps we've lost some sense of why that happens in the first place. I mean, I think we know that by and large, those censuses are taken up in order to exercise control over the people. And Caesar Augustus had a great bit of power there, power to tax, really to tax people into oblivion is what he was well known for, the power to gather and amass people to serve him and to serve his interests. So it wasn't for nothing that this survey was taken up, that this census was taken up. It's seen as a powerful tool, and we should see it as such, a powerful tool of the king of the entire world. The king, by the way, Caesar Augustus, who claimed to be son of God and prince of peace. For us then, as we see the way that the true God becomes king for his people and the entire known world, we see what Prince of Peace and Son of God looks like in reality. To whom does the word of good news first go out but to the lowly, to those who count for nothing, those who are on the very margins of society, the shepherds? They are the ones who hear that euangelion, that message of good news brought to them by God's angels. Now, that's also not something that's merely neutral, as though, okay, yeah, we get it. We know, Father, we know the story. It's not so neutral, because also in the day of Caesar Augustus, when there was a military conquest, the emperor would send out messengers, angelos, angels would send out messengers to bring news of his imperial victory to the known world. Now, when that happened, was it good news or was it not? Shepherds have the right to be afraid because they knew that regime change was at hand. When they hear that euangelion, when they hear the proclamation of the gospel, they know that regime change is at hand. And maybe there are some people today also who would quake at the word that there is a newborn king. But this king is born to us not in the mode of Caesar Augustus, not in the mode of power and prestige and oppression of enemies, but he's born among us as the most vulnerable, as a child, as a baby. He's born not only in the vulnerability of becoming a child for us, but also in insignificance, in that lowliness of a state that was his, to not even have a crib to call his own, but to be laid in a manger. But these are not just details of a story that we like to recall on this day. They mean a lot, because God coming among us as this particular kind of king shows us what true happiness is all about. God shows us how it is we are to live as his beloved children. My friends, we are confronted with this reality of a new king. Do we continue to live in the ways of the world? Do we continue to come under the rule of Caesar Augustus? Or have we found new life and liberation in Jesus, the world's true king? Have we come to find in Jesus a new mode of being, a new mode of power that sees its greatest glory in self-gift, in service of others, even and especially to the point of self-sacrifice? That's the life that Jesus lives out for us. That's the life that we're drawn to here in this nativity, right? There's reason why we come before the nativity, why we come before the infant Jesus and kneel and praise and worship God who has come among us. It's not as though then we have this powerful, intimidating figure, although Jesus is all powerful, but an intimidating figure. We have the baby who draws out of us that love, that pureness of intention and motivation to serve. And here as Jesus draws that out of us in worship and praise, we truly are set free to worship God, to celebrate this season as it was intended, the great season of our liberation, of our joy, and of our peace. And as we turn over our hearts and our lives to the Christ child and are set free to serve him and serve our neighbor, we too were made witnesses to this proclamation of the angels. Glory to God has been born on earth, and peace to those on whom his favor rests.